Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Tune in Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time as we continue to change the conversation in contemporary media. To be a guest or to share your thoughts on changing the conversation, visit Nabucchi.com today. Don't miss out on the opportunity to be a part of the company that's revolutionizing media. Visit PunchTVStudios.com to become a part owner at $1 per share.
That time we are here today with Pastors for Punch TV with your favorite host Joy Brown. Today's special guest is we have Pastor Hosea Collins with us today, and we also have Pastor Lois Moore from Texas. They will both be joining us today with your host, Joy Brown. Do we have Pastor Collins on the line? Hosea Collins? Hello, Pastor Collins?
$1 per share.
Hello, Pastor Collins?
I don't know if he's there. What about Pastor Moore Williams? Are you here?
Yes, I am.
Awesome.
Yes. How are you today?
I'm just absolutely wonderful. I am
God
so happy
you.
That you joined us.
Well, I'm happy to be a part of it. Yes, indeed.
Yes, I have you here. This is your host, Joy Brown, with the Punch, the pastors for Punch TV Studio. And that introduction that we had was coming from our engineer, Mr. Floyd Brown.
Yes.
But what we're going to have him to do, he's going to read just a little bit of your bio.
Okay.
Before we allow you to just talk about your ministry, let us know. I want to know. One of the things with you being a lady and a woman pastor, how did that happen? But he's going to introduce you first. Just give a little bit snip of your bio, and then we're going to bring you on. Is that all right?
That's fine.
Pastor Lois Moore Williams is no stranger to the work of the ministry. The calling of God upon her life was evident through her church upbringing. Blessed with a method and powerful voice, she has performed many concerts prior to God's elevation of her into higher ministry. She accepted the calling of God into the preaching ministry over 25 years ago as a pastor and founder member of Christian Unity Missionary Baptist Church. Pastor Moore tends to her flock with the love of God. Pastor Moore?
That's right.
Awesome. Well, you know what? I know you, and I've heard you on different occasions. You probably don't remember, but I know two people that love you very much, and that's your daughter, and I have a cousin, Bishop Craig Brown. So
yes.
They highly esteem you.
Oh, bless the Lord.
I want to hear from you and the words from your mouth. And actually, I have a pastor that I invited to hear today on the line because she called, and she's just starting to go into the ministry as a pastor, and she was telling me some things that she doesn't know. I said, well, you need to tune in today. I said, because I have a seasoned woman pastor that's on this line that I'm quite sure when you listen to her and find out some of the challenges that you had coming through and how God brought you out, and just give us some of your beginning. How did this ministry start, Pastor Moore?
Well, it started with me being a teacher above the young adults, and I kept that ministry for a long, long time, teaching them out of the Word of the Lord and based on the subject matters, and it ended up facing life, you know, just those general things that we have to talk about as women. I stood with these women, and then, of course, evangelizing in the church. I've been in the church all my life, really. And
wow.
My husband was the founder, Reverend Moore, was the founder of the Christian Unity Church. And, of course, I was evangelizing then.
Mm-hmm.
And after he passed away, now, he did have some other ministers on the board,
mm-hmm.
but the church itself accepted me as
wow.
the pastor. I never asked God for this ministry.
But
I'm here today to let you know that
I
couldn't do anything any better, okay?
Oh.
Yes, let me also know that, yes, many, many challenges have come my way. But when I stepped out and said yes to the pastorship,
mm-hmm.
I immediately said, God, I don't know
mm-hmm.
what I'm doing. I've never
okay.
done this before. But I love you, and I love your people, and I know that your word will always work. And
wow.
as much as the church had accepted me by 100%, then I had those members who was there sort of to say, I got your back, you know.
That's it.
And sometimes, Joyce, that worked, and sometimes it didn't.
Exactly, we know.
Yeah, sometimes, Joyce, it was just me and God, okay? It felt
yes.
that way anyway. But
exactly.
as we grew, the Lord has blessed us, not every day being a day of peace, joy, and happiness, but I had to make my life be. I had to make sure I interceded with joy and peace and
mm-hmm.
believed to receive the love of God. I had to keep myself encouraged.
Wow.
Anyway, in that was a struggle sometimes. It's not always easy. And I thought about it. He never promised me it would be easy, but because I loved him and I loved his people, he could trust me.
Right.
So here I am, 25 years, going into my 26th year of being pastor of the church that was founded by my husband.
Mm.
Some of those persons moved on out of the city, and some of those
mm-hmm.
persons are yet in the city and are not members of Christian Unity. And
okay.
yes, I do yet have some of those who accepted me as pastor.
Right.
It
That's
is a
good.
Work, Joyce, but it's a
is
good
it
work.
Okay.
It's a wonderful work. It's a
wow.
work that you have to pray and pray and then pray. Okay? If you understand what I mean. But
well,
I found out that there's...
without ceasing, right?
There you go. There you go. I had to do that.
Oh,
and in
wow.
doing so, I got stronger.
Uh-huh.
I had my devotional time by myself, me and the Lord, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
And I love singing, as you can see in my bio. And I would continue to do those things, to be a part of singing ministry as well. I don't do much of that like I used to. I yet sing, but it's most times it's alone. I learned that people will be people, okay?
Uh-huh.
And you'll have to take them like you find them.
Wow.
Encourage them to the best of your ability. Pray the word of the Lord and believe God to honor his word over and in the lives of
wow.
his people. Now, this is a continual thing. You have to walk this walk.
Let me ask you something. You said a key thing that I think that most pastors probably have to do. You said you had to encourage yourself.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I know that's not strange for you to say that, and neither is it for anything that other pastors can identify with, but you have so many people around you that come to you with encouraging words and stuff. So when you say encourage yourself, why do you think that's so necessary?
At the moment that you feel you would come through to encourage me, that's the moment
mm-hmm.
you don't show up.
Well,
meaning you will have those hours, whereas you are alone. And you have
yes.
many, yes, you're right. You have many people around you that will say encouraging things. And then
mm-hmm.
people can be mean, don't forget that, if they haven't
yes.
been delivered. And
right.
they can say ugly things. That's
yes.
another time that you need to know how to encourage
yes.
yourself. And my
okay.
the best way to encourage yourself, when it doesn't come out like you'd like it, that is, you must pray. You must talk to the Lord. Nevertheless, Lord, that word brought me a long way. Nevertheless,
wow.
Lord, I
uh-huh.
still say yes. Nevertheless, Lord, I will do
yes.
your will, and I'm still saying
mm-hmm.
that today. Nevertheless,
right.
Lord, I believe you for the more in whatever
mm-hmm.
is going on, even if it's raising an offering. Nevertheless, Lord, I stand saying yes because you're God of your word. And in
right.
his word, he said yes and amen to us. And I believe that word. I trust
yeah.
that word. George, that's all I have is that word. And that word will work. Okay.
Uh-oh, somebody. So, and you said that, I understand, because I am a PK. Well,
are you?
Are
I didn't know that.
Yes. I know it's probably so, but aren't there days when, Pastor Moore Williams, where you really don't feel like coming to church on a Sunday to preach?
Of course. Of course. I'm 100% human, dedicated
mm-hmm.
to the call of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are days when I just don't feel like it.
Wow.
But because the greater one lives in me, I want you to
uh-huh.
know I'm determined. My voice comes back to me, what the things that I've said to God. You promised
okay.
him. And, honey, I'm mm-hmm. up and ready to go. In a little bit, give me an hour
wow.
and I'm out there. Yes, yes, ma'am. I'm really, just because I'm pastoring, it doesn't mean that I'm not human. I
mm-hmm.
feel what you feel. I bleed if you cut
yeah.
me, and I'm a human. I'm just
mm-hmm.
sanctified and filled with the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit will always be there for us.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit, he promised us. And I
yes.
rely on that. That he would never leave me nor forsake me. I take it personally. I really do.
Yeah.
Sometimes
okay.
I have to say, okay, Lord, come on. Yes, I do. Because I'm human, okay?
Yeah.
And my human mindset is not always spiritual. Sometimes in the natural things of life,
right.
I feel like, oh, no, not today. I don't feel up to
mm-hmm.
it, you know? But then I have to. All I have to do is minister to one person, and it causes
mm-hmm.
me to be encouraged to minister to the
wow.
next person or see
wow.
the smiling faces of the saints. And then
okay.
really, you're ready to see the rest of them. You know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
It's a work in progress,
okay,
I tell you.
A work in progress, yes.
It is. It really is. And I think it will forever be until Jesus returns. Don't you think so?
Right, exactly.
Yes, because we learn by the things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And the things
that
we go through, and the word of the God, the word of God remains the same. It doesn't change. It will do what it say it will do, okay?
That's true.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, I'm reading your bio, and I didn't know that you were a singer and you done concerts and stuff. How your ministry started?
My first one was at age 13. I was a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned because my father was the singer, and my mom would keep me prepared to go and sing with the choirs, not just the kids that were 13, but even with the elderly people at that time.
Right.
If they were singing, I could sing with them, and it was okay. It was approved by the church or the pastor of that church at that time that I could sing with them. So, yes, ma'am, I have.
And that's
love it.
Always helpful when you have a pastor that could sing, do the praise. Well, especially in the beginning.
Yes.
He does the praise and worship.
Yes.
He does this, and he has so many hats that he has to wear in the beginning. But as God begins to bless the ministry, he can let those little areas go and really penetrate on just delivering the word of God and counseling.
Yes,
it's like, because we know that's what pastoring in
it's
the
about.
Nutshell
that's
is all
right.
about.
That's what it's all about. It is.
Right.
And you know, I did do some of that. I did praise and worship until a praise and worship team came along.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was not up long before. There were others who said, "You have plenty to do. Let me join this group. And if you don't mind, I'll get a group to sing with us." And they do that. And I enjoy. Matter of fact, sometimes I just sit there and enjoy the praise and think on the goodness of God and the wonderful things, how he has manifested himself. Listen, the work for the Lord won't return void. You put it out there with your spirit and the Holy Spirit to lead and guide. I want you to know God will show up.
That's
and
right.
He will show himself to be one that who's in charge. He really will.
That's awesome.
I love it. It is awesome. It really is. Sometimes
so
when
you,
I come home.
You really do have a walk of faith.
Yes, ma'am. I have to. Yes, ma'am. I have it. I do have that, and I praise him for it. God, I don't know how it's going to be done, but the word of the Lord told me that if your word abide in me and I abide in you, I could ask what I will. God, I need. And he will just show up. He knows how to manage his business through human beings. Okay? Human beings.
We're going to take a commercial break, but I want to come back and talk to you a little bit more. And then I want to ask you about you're feeding the hungry and clothing the needy. And also I want you to tell us more about where your ministry is and what you guys are doing.
Okay.
We're going to take a little break now.
All righty.
Thank you.
I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios. Growing up in South Central Los Angeles, my mother was on welfare. She fought day and night to get off welfare and give her children a better life. She would always say to me, "Son, this is the best that I can do, but you can do better." And I promised that I would do better and that I would be the catalyst for change in our community. Just like I promise you that together we can build a multi-billion dollar media company that brings wealth back to our community, that resurrects blighted areas and puts people back to work. Be part of the promise. Be part of change. Invest in Punch TV Studios for only $1 per share. Call now, 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. Or visit our website at punchtvstudios.com.
Hallelujah. Now, that was that was our CEO. Those of you who are listening at Punch TV Studio. And I just wanted to interject just something very important before we go back to Pastor Moore. And we do have another pastor on the line, Pastor Hosea Collins, also. He's with us. But Punch TV Studio is a multimedia company, and we're in the midst of our IPO, which is Initial Public Offering. And one thing that we're looking at are the churches, because we know, and I'm seeing what's going to happen. We know a lot of our government programs are getting ready to get cut off based because of what's going on in politics. And we're preparing ourselves. We have a strategy that we're asking our churches to come on board and be partners with us and be shareholders in our company, stockholders, meaning that your church collectively could become one of the churches that are partners, and the investment could go towards your church. Our projection is in 3 years to 3.5 years, our company would be $500 million to $1 billion. And that means the shares that you have put in the company, you'll be able to draw off of that, take some of the revenue that you've made with shares in the company, and do ministry with debt-free. And that's what we're looking for. We're asking pastors everywhere to come on board with us. We're on the ground floor, which is phenomenal. We will be closing the IPO in October, and we started off with 50 million shares, and God's hand has been on this company, and people from all over the country and U.S. have been actually buying shares online, which is our website, punchtvstudios.com, and they've been calling in and actually buying shares from the company. But I wanted to let you know that's what we're here for. But this line, the pastors for Punch TV Studio, is very important because our next move on our TV program, we want to start bringing our pastors in, just like Pastor Lois Moore Williams, Christian Unity Missionary Baker Church. We're going to start doing documentaries on their churches because we're losing church histories. So that's why I'm asking questions. How did you start, you know, she says she still has some members that remember. That's important details for people to know how the faith that God has given you to start a ministry and what it took for you to stay believe God for what he said he was going to do. So back again, we're with Pastor Moore Williams just to come back again and ask, I want to know, when you care for the sick and you feed the hungry, what exactly are you doing? Are you going out of the church to come into the church?
Okay. When we have members or people that we know, just people that we pray for, many people, mm-hmm. they're in the hospital and they're without mm-hmm. a pastor, we go. I have a praying team that will go, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Call a prayer team. They go in and they visit with that sick, and they mm-hmm. pray, they read the word of the Lord, and mm-hmm. if there's something else that needs to be done, they mm-hmm. will find out, and they will let me know, okay? Sometimes I'm with them, not mm-hmm. every time, but when it's my time to spearhead
wow.
it with them, I make sure I'm in the midst of them. It's just that I have a prayer group that go and do this for us at our church, okay? And it's not that I'm not involved. Yes, I do go
yeah.
at times. Now, in feeding them,
yeah.
at Thanksgiving time, Christmas time, we mm-hmm. have always had plenty of food put out for people, anybody in the neighborhood mm-hmm. that could come and help themselves to what we had. All they had to do
wow.
is just let us know that they were in need. And, of course,
mm-hmm.
that was the other things that they had to do, like to let me know, that let the person that's spearheading that know what they
yeah.
were in need of.
Okay.
And then at Christmas time, we would also do that same thing. And,
wow.
of course, children in our neighborhood who didn't
mm-hmm.
have gifts,
wow.
we have always had plenty. Now,
that's
after
wonderful.
A little while, that changed. And
yes.
it was like this, that there were people through our mission department that
mm-hmm.
would notify somebody
yes.
in the church or notify the president of the mission. She would notify
mm-hmm.
me that there is a family that's hungry
okay.
that's in
wow.
our neighborhood, or a family that we know who is in dire need of food.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly we have a kitchen. Our cabinet
okay.
is full
awesome.
Right now. And
yeah.
we do share that food.
Okay.
Every
That's
now
wonderful.
And then, every now and then, You find families that's larger, and they need more. We give what's needed. Yeah. And then every now and then you will run into people while you're giving the food away and visiting with them that, as I said earlier, people will be mean and not really respect it and treat it good. But it's their loss and my gain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay? So this is what we do. And this is what we're going to continue to do. And you know what? A girl came in yesterday and says, I'm going to make that better for you. And in the feeding line, and I said, in giving of the toys to children, I'm going to make that better for you. And I praise God for it. It's because she worked in a place where she found out on some type of program that she could include us. And that's what God has blessed us with.
Yes.
He's blessed us with people who know how to reach people. And to ask and find out what they need, what they're in need of. Somebody.
Yeah, so
our
she actually came to the church to visit.
Yeah.
And it was on the back of your program.
It was, praise the Lord. Yes, indeed.
Advertisement.
Yes. And we do all we can to fulfill that. Now, on Wednesdays, we're in there twice. On a Wednesday, we are in there from 12 to 1:30 in prayer. That started out for people that had to go to work that they could get up their lunch hour, come in and pray and go. And now it has grown to the fact that sometimes it goes over the time. And if we have working people in there, after that hour is over, they can just tip out after being blessed with prayer and the scriptures that we're discussing. But that's on every Wednesday at 12 o'clock. Okay.
Well, you need to tell us where to go. What's the address?
924 North Market Street in Inglewood, California, 90302. That's it.
And what's your phone number for the church?
Yes, that's where we are. And the church is Christian Unity, as you have. I sit directly behind the Raps Market off of La Brea. You can't miss us. and you're always welcome there.
Awesome.
Indeed you are. Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, wonderful.
We have several singing choirs and male chorus and our youth and our young adults. It's third Sunday. In other words, we try to keep everybody busy.
Wonderful.
Okay? Yes,
a busy
church
is a happy church.
It is. It really is. We have a wonderful convalescent ministry, whereas on every third Thursday, we go there to minister to those people that are in there, you know. So it's a full-time job and a good job, okay? It's wonderful. Everybody know everybody.
Wonderful.
And we have a chance to be a blessing to all of those that come our way. At one way or another, if there's no more people come in, sometimes just to be prayed for.
And that's what you get.
That's
and
right.
That's,
and then they get up and go.
Awesome. And that's what the church is there for. Sometimes we get too stuck on people joining. And it should be just allowing them to come in because eventually, if they're getting what they want, they're going to stay.
Yes, indeed they will. Indeed they will. And we tried doing all of that, you know, because it is to bring glory to God's name, first of all, and then foremost, God's people are next, okay?
That's true.
They're very important to Him.
You have
so
been
we see them in that light.
Wonderful. Well, listen, you have been listening to Pastor Lois Moore Williams of Christian Unity Missionary Baptist Church as our guest speaker on today, and we are so honored that you took time to come on our show today. But we gave you her information for the address. Give us that address again, Pastor Moore, so they can hear it again.
924 North Market Street, Inglewood, California. 90302. I sit directly behind Raff's Market between Plymouth and Centinella.
Wonderful. Well, we thank you for coming on. And those
God bless
of you.
Thank you.
Oh, it was a blessing. Well, Pastor Moore, we're going to go ahead and we have another pastor that's coming on, but your Facebook name is Lois Moore Williams.
That's
and for those of you that just tuned in and just got into this pastor's for Punch TV Studio, she's going to have a link that you'll be able to go directly to hear her again. and you're going to be able to call her. You're going to be able to go to the church and let her know how much you love the interview that we had today. And you're going to visit her. And this is a great opportunity for me because I've been knowing you from a far distance but never gotten this close with you to talk to you on this.
God bless you.
And it's been a blessing. And from the heart of our CEO, Mr. Joseph Collins, and Punch Studio TV Studio, we thank you for coming on today.
God bless you, and I thank you for having me, okay?
You're welcome.
All
right. Be blessed.
You be blessed. God bless you both, okay? Bye-bye.
Okay, Ms. Just come on now and give us another break, and we're going to bring our elder pastor on right after this break.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki?
Good afternoon. Hi, this is your host, Joy Brown, with the Pastors for Punch TV Studio. We have another pastor on today, Pastor Hosea Collins. Are you in the house?
Yes, indeed. How are you?
Just awesome. Wonderful. Just glad to hear your voice and know that you're here, that you made it. And we had just another pastor before you. I'm quite sure you heard Pastor Moore. You're going to have to go there and visit with her. She's a wonderful woman of God.
Yes,
but
indeed. I heard it. Interview.
Yeah.
Sounds like she's doing great things.
Awesome. Now, Brother Floyd Brown, I know you got some things over there you're going to talk about this pastor. This is a youth pastor, and I want you to just read his bio a little bit, and then we're going to just get straight on to the nitty-gritty.
Pastor Hosea Collins is a native of Los Angeles. He and his wife, Tarika Collins, have been together for more than 20 years, and they are the proud parents of three wonderful children, Christina, Denora, and Roman. Hosea's ministry is focused on the empowerment and advancement of our youth and young adults with an emphasis on the discovery and activation of their God-given gifts so that they may fulfill their true purpose of their excellence, of their existence. For all things are possible to them that believe, Mark 9:23, Pastor Hosea Collins serves as the youth pastor of City of Refuge, Senior Pastor Bishop Noah Jones. Welcome, Pastor Collins.
Oh, wonderful. I'm delighted to be on with you guys.
Awesome. Well, listen, Pastor Hosea, I know who you are. I done heard you preach. I done seen God move. I've been at the City of Refuge since 2013 is when I came. And prior to that, I've seen God just use you, transform you in many ways in one. So I'm just going to open up to this forum. And first of all, where are you? What city did you leave to come to Los Angeles? And give us just a little snip on how did you know about leaving and coming to City of Refuge. What was your story?
Okay, well, definitely. I was born and raised in Coushatta, Louisiana. That's where I'm born and raised, and I began pastoring there in 2002 as a senior pastor of New Hope. And I have family here. My mother's father lived here, and some of her aunties and uncles. So she had here. And I was here because one of my cousins was killed in a drive-by shooting. And at this time, I was pastoring there in New Hope in Coushatta, Louisiana. And while visiting, God was prompting in my heart ministry here. He was telling me that he had work for me to do here. And I fought it like, no, I have a thriving church back home, my wife and families back in Louisiana. I tried to rebuke that thought in Jesus' name, and it just grew. The following year, we came here for a family reunion, and it grew even stronger, and it was becoming undeniable. And I talked to my wife about what I was really feeling led to do, and after about 2 years of wrestling, I finally submitted, and I left everything and came to California on a wing and a prayer. All I had was a word from the Lord. I didn't have a church. I didn't have a job. I didn't even have a house. I literally came and moved in with my auntie. And 3 weeks later, I found a job. And 3 weeks after that, I found a place. And I jumped on a plane, got my family, got all of our things in a U-Haul, and drove everybody back out here, enrolled the kids into school, and been here for 10 years now.
Wow. Now, that's powerful. I didn't know all of that. You left a place that you was comfortable in to a place where you didn't even know where you was going to be of discomfort.
Totally. I mean, I didn't. All I knew, I was here for ministry. I didn't know what, when, where, how, and with who. I mean, I even ended up at the City of Refuge on accident. Like, I was starting a ministry out of the back of my uncle's real estate office. He had a real estate office, and I started a ministry called House of Truth, and it grew to about 10 people. I believe every preacher needs a preacher. I believe every pastor needs to sit down and eat. And I wasn't even aware that Bishop Jones' church was here in California till one day one of my relatives was speaking about it. And I was yeah, I know him. His church is out here. And they was like, it's right there in Gardena. And I came to visit, and I would sit way at the back in the nosebleed section, and because I was just here to eat, because my service was at 3 o'clock. So I would come in and sit down with my Word of God, go on back and start my church at 3 o'clock.
Wow.
This went on for, until the church started a street evangelism team under the leadership of Dr. Ralph Watkins, who used to be the director. I hadn't did street witnessing since I moved from Louisiana. And while I was there, man, I loved it. I enjoyed it. And he actually, he had been watching me and seeing how I conducted myself and have asked if I would be one of the leaders of the street evangelism team. So I accepted it. And the next thing, it wasn't a month later, he started a young adult ministry. And I went to that initial meeting, and I ended up becoming involved in that ministry. And the next thing, I mean, these are months apart, and Dr. Ralph Watkins ended up resigning because he accepted the assistant pastor job at First AME at Fame. And he recommended me and asked me if I would accept his recommendation to be to become the director over the young adult ministry. And so I began, I prayed about it.
Right.
And we agreed so
I'm sorry. So you wouldn't.
I've lost you.
I said you hadn't joined City of Refuge then.
Well, no, actually, I had joined. I did become a member. I joined in February of 2008. I went to new membership class and I became official, but I wasn't trying to do anything but come and eat. You know, I would come and God and I would go back and do my thing. But and these things begin to unfold. So when I became the young adult pastor and our young adult ministry began to grow, so on and so forth, and we had a chance during Black History Month of February 2000. I think it was February 2009. It was February 2009 when we had a skit we planned, we put together for Black History Month. And at the end of the skit, I had a 10-minute exhortation, and it was at the Hour of Power. And I did my 10-minute exhortation, and afterward, one of Bishop's security guards came with a sheet of paper and asked for my name, said Bishop wanted my name.
What?
And so after the director of operations, Elder Edwin Perry, asked for my availability during 12 noon, because he said sometimes Bishop used different preachers at 12 noon.
Oh, my God.
I gave him my number and everything, and he told me to stay ready. So I went to the 12 noon Bible study that next Wednesday.
Yes.
And my phone rang, and I went into the lobby to answer it, and it was the secretary at that time. And she asked me where I was. I told her I was in service. She asked me to come to the back. When I went to the back, the director of operations asked me if I was ready to preach. I said,
"What?"
Yeah. And he said, "No." I said, "Yeah." Bible study.
Be also ready, right?
My pastor would do that to me all the time, and I hated it, but God was preparing me. He would
wow,
ask me
okay.
right before service to preach. So it trained me to stay ready, to keep a word in your heart, to always have something to share. And, and it trained me back then, and so it served me well. And it's a city of refuge, and, you know, things began to grow, and then we lost our youth pastor, and that's when I became the director over the children, youth, and young adult ministry. And things began to grow.
That's some history. Now, this is unusual, because I'm going to tell you why it's unusual. Most of the time, when people come to large ministries like that, they come with the intentions of being on the minister's staff to obtain a position. So you're telling me that was not your motive. Is that what you're saying?
Never. I never desired it. I never applied. I never turned in an application. I was trying to build my ministry, and what ended up happening, God revealed to me that even though I was trying to do this thing with House of Truth, that this is where he was using me, and I had to make a tough decision. So, and I realized what God was doing, even though it wasn't the way I planned it when I left Louisiana. So I shut down House of Truth and brought those few folk to go on over to the City of Refuge with me.
Wow, this is good. This is very good. Okay, listen, I want to ask you some more questions about you, but we're going to take just a small commercial break, and then I'm coming back and ask you some more questions. I want to know more about how do you talk to youth? How do you introduce Christ to youth? And I know you have some answers.
Most definitely.
Okay.
I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios. We have a network of television stations around the country. And today, we are proud to announce that we have just launched our newest television station across all of Southern California. KILM is the new Punch TV. Check your local listings on Direct, Dish, Spectrum, Charter, Frontier, and over the air for free. From the desert to the sea, it's Punch TV. For more information on the second phase of the Punch TV Studio stock offering for only $1 per share, call 310-419-5914, 310-419-5914, or log on to PunchTVStudios.com. That's PunchTVStudios.com.
Investing in IPO carries a degree of risk. There is no guarantee that your investment will secure. Do not invest if you cannot afford to lose your investment.
Awesome. That was our CEO, Joseph Collins of Punch TV Studio. And just to let you know what we're doing, Pastor Hosea, Punch TV Studio is actually reaching out to pastors all over the country to invite them to become partners with us and to invest in our company. And right now we're in the midst of the IPO. I think I've probably given you some literature. I know I've given Bishop Noel Jones some literature also. And what's gonna be great about this, we're going to be using the pastor's story to document their story, the beginning, how the church started. Because we know about our pastor, Bishop Noel Jones. He came from Longview here.
Right.
But we are one of the first 10 companies to go public by way of Jobs Act Regulations A, which is a bill that President Obama passed before he left office. So Punch TV Studio qualified by the SEC, which is the Security Exchange Commission, and we've been offering our stock to investors all over the world, meaning we specifically offer it to the urban community, and it's at $1 per share, which has been quite successful. So we're in now what you call the phase two of the IPO, and we're reaching out to churches. And one of the strategies that I believe that God is moving us into is when our churches invest, whether it be $10,000 or $20,000, because it's the members that's going to be given to the church to invest on the church behalf. And we're projecting within the next 3.5 years that our company will be at least a capital of $1.5 billion to $3 billion company, because we're making movies and we're doing television shows and documentaries. That means in 3 years, our churches will be able to have shares that they build up into our company and pull out some of that money to pay off a church, to set up a community center, and it'll be debt-free because of the money that you would have made. And I say this often, and it's not guaranteed, but we're having a stockholders meeting in May for those that have come in after we close in October. And we're asking our stockholders not to sell their shares, and you bought it at $1, not to share. We're selling the shares at $5.25. That's not guaranteed, but that's what we're hoping for. That means if City of Refuge went in, or you went in and we bought shares, in 3 years, you know, the government programs that are going on now, the politics, they're shutting that down, and we know that. And I believe God is actually setting the church up now to be prepared, because there's going to be a lot of people. We talk about homeless, a lot of people without jobs. We'll be able to give them jobs. We'll be able to help them get a home, because it'll be that natural literacy. We should be able to diminish that, because we'll be in a position as a church to, you know, help people that are in need. And that's where they're going to find God, because that's what Jesus did. He fed the poor. He went and he healed the sick, because the health benefits, you know, it said that's the Obamacare, they get ready to shut that down too.
Right.
So our spirituality is what we have. It's all we're going to need in order to really cause us to win the loss for Christ. And we'll be prepared for that. So back to you. For the youth, how do you see yourself within the next 2 years? What are the youth? How do you draw the youth into the ministry? What do you do?
Well, simply, you reach the area of need. You tap into the area that they're most void. And oftentimes, youth are really looking for a sense of identity. And you have to allow them to utilize their gifts and creativity. You have to remain relevant with the changing of the times. Often we lose youth because we want them to do it the way we did it, but they're not of the same generation we're from. So you have to, Bishop says, strive to remain relevant in a changing generation, meaning don't stifle their gifts and their creativity. Yes, create a boundary for them to operate in, but allow them to express themselves in a godly manner and show them where they fit into the kingdom of God, that God has need for the gifts he's placed inside of them. Let them get their identity. They know there's not something wrong with them because they want to dress a different way, or they want to listen to a different style of music, or they, as opposed to where we are, because we only ostracize them when we treat them as if they're aliens on a different planet. We've got to let them know their relevancy and teach them the word of God on their level. See, the message, kingdom of God, should never change. We never change the message. However, the method should change. We should alter the method of how we deliver it. Because think about it. We're fishermen. And as a fisherman, I've got to be able to present my hook with bait that's attractive to you. I've got to be able to communicate to you in your language. When Jesus was talking, see, Jesus really preached the same sermon to everybody. Mm-hmm. That was the message of the kingdom. However, the method was never the same. If he was talking to a group of fishermen, he said, the kingdom of God is if a man who cast his net into the sea. If he was talking to a bunch of farmers, he said, the kingdom of God is likened unto a man who sowed seed, and different seeds fell on various types of soil. Some fell by the wayside. So he broke down the message and communicated it to the audience that he was dealing with through a method that was relative to them. And it's the same thing with youth. Communicate the message of the gospel through a method relevant to them.
Now listen. So do we need to re-educate the older people so we can start walking in a different method to draw them? Because I know I do. I make that mistake sometime too, and I try to be too rigid, you know, when I know love and discipline goes together. But like you said, there's a different method that we have to come to them in order for them to be drawn to us.
Right. Tender,
so do we offer courses like that to our people?
Right. Most of us tend to want to do them the way we were done.
That's
you know what I'm saying? Well, and we're not living in the same day and the same age.
Right.
Like,
mm-hmm.
truth of the matter, you know, I got my butt whooped if I didn't want to go to church. methods aren't even relative or aren't even wise practices in the day and time we live in from a societal point of view.
Exactly.
Like, the rules have changed, so we've got to
know how to... Right. Well, of course, a parent can go to jail now.
What I'm talking about, exactly. So I think it's important to begin with conversation. Quit trying to clean the fish before we catch them. See, I've got to have conversation with kids first so that I can develop a rapport. Because they don't really want to care about what I'm saying until the kids don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Just start with conversation, what their interests are, what they're into, And then you see how the gospel, how it can be revealed as a solution to their problems.
Mm-hmm.
Before I just go to trying to force feed them. A pastor friend of mine from Louisiana once called me one day and said, "Man, I'm trying to start this youth service, and I know you deal with youth and you deal with adults and you deal with kids." He said, "What type of message? I don't know what should I preach to
mm-hmm.
youth. Like, I want to start mm-hmm. this youth, but what type of messages do you preach to youth?" And my answer to him was simple. I preach the exact same message to the youth that I preach to the grown-ups. But the only thing that changes is how I deliver it. What's my point of method of delivery? For example, let's say I'm teaching on the woman with the issue of blood. Now, based upon the message is the same. It's the same biblical story.
Mm-hmm.
But how do I make this relevant to my audience? Meaning, if I was talking to a bunch of adults, those issues of blood, her issue of blood, can be metaphorical to my audience, and those issues can deal with financial hardship. It can deal with negative doctor prognosis. It can deal with facing divorce, in a marriage that I've committed my all into. It can deal with that issue can be the death of a child or so on and so forth. The point of references are different. It's the same message. However, if I'm talking to a bunch of teenagers, that
mm-hmm.
issue of blood to them may be relative or communicated as a way of not being picked for the school football team or basketball team, or being cut from the cheerleader tryouts. It could be relevant to not fitting in with your peers and being
mm-hmm.
bullied on social media. That issue could be parents not understanding you and you feeling like you're all alone and no one gets you. See, the only thing is how I make the application. It has to be applicable to how does this gospel speak to the issue of a 13-year-old versus
mm-hmm.
to how that same gospel text speak to the issue of a 50-year-old. See, the relevancy may be different as it relates to the method of delivery, but the message is the same Jesus. That's the solution to both demographics. But how do you present them to make them relative to that particular group?
So when you are out there on the streets and you are talking to gangbangers or prostitutes on the street, and they're young now, what do you say? Do you just walk up to them, and what do you say?
That's my easiest demographic to reach because I used to be them. So I'm very, very familiar with how to reach that particular demographic. It starts with just embracing people with love. Hey, bro, hey, man, what's happening with you, man? How you doing today? Oh, hey, man, what's going on with you? Look, we having a little something at the church. Man, what's that? Oh, hey, man, I like that fitted you got on. That looks nice right there. Them J's are hot. Woo-woo. It starts with a rapport that I'm not talking at you. I'm talking to you. And one thing that I do that's never offensive, I use me. Right. I put my dirty laundry in the street. Hey,
what
man,
do you
a
say?
Lot of you, man, I ain't gonna even lie, but you remind me a lot of myself right now. Man, I can
okay.
remember back in the day when I was posted up just like this. On some real talk,
okay.
I was right here doing X, Y, Z, woo, blah, 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 blah. But man, I almost
yeah.
lost everything. Man, I almost went
okay.
to jail, brother. And I began
well,
to share my testimony, how I almost got locked
yeah.
up, or how I almost got killed, or I almost got this.
Okay.
And now they wondering, well, what happened? And then I
right.
tell them what
okay.
delivered me.
That
I ended
opened
up going
another
to
door. Exactly.
Jesus. And so it's not offensive, because all I'm doing is sharing my story. I'm not
right.
forcing you.
Right.
I'm showing you relevancy that I was where you are and what
okay.
almost happened to me, giving you insight to where this road can lead and telling
right.
you how I see the way out.
Okay. So, okay. So do you find that young people, do they stream church? Because
yes.
they don't necessarily have to come to. Do they stream? Do they go on the app? Because it's not like it when, of course, you say, we expect them, things have changed. Parents used to drop their kids off. Of course, that's no longer the game because the parents that got dropped off don't come to church. So it's a whole new ball game now. So you got to go to activities where they are and, like you say, talk to them about where they are now and identify with them. So
yes.
with that being said, when you identify with them, is it necessary to bring them into the sanctuary? Does that happen next, or that just happen with the course of life?
That, no, you definitely want to bring them into the sanctuary because you don't want them to forsake the assembling of themselves. You want to bring them into the presence of God. Now, you can't force them there, but you want that's definitely the goal. You want to get them there. However, a lot of our youth catch the bus to church. A lot of them not
mm-hmm.
getting even dropped out. Parents ain't even coming. We have a lot of foster youth. They catch the bus to church. They come on their own because we provide an environment where they lead the worship service. We
right.
allow type of music that's attractive to them. Now, the message
okay.
is still the gospel message, but it might
mm-hmm.
be to a hip-hop gospel rapper. But we definitely,
okay.
as I would ourselves, we screen the messages, of course, because we realize everything ain't all gospel. You know what I'm saying? So we screen it.
Right,
but
exactly.
we allow
yes.
them
okay, exactly. right.
away. Like, they get what... Turned up.
I don't
Jesus.
Mean to cut you off, but I know you're a preacher and you got a lot to say. You might be like your pastor, you know.
Right.
I'm getting ready to just be the last word I'm going to say, but I would have to bring you back and really allow you some time because I want to hear more about it because I need to know more about the youth and how to really minister to the youth. And you've said you left some great nuggets with us today. In reference to that, but before we go, I want you to share with us the youth ministry at City of Refuge and what you're offering that will cause the people that are listening on our show to come and visit the youth church because we got to have youth to keep our church alive. You know, we have a lot of older people that are diminishing, but the youth is what's going to keep our churches alive. So tell us where's the Worship Center at?
Okay, here we are, City of Refuge, located at 14527 South San Pedro in Gardena. That's right off of Rosecrans and San Pedro. One more time, City of Refuge is located 14527 South San Pedro Street in Gardena, California. Our children's church is every Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11:30, while the worship center, while the sanctuary is going on at 8 and 11. They meet right above where the bookstore was, which is now Solomon's Corner, our restaurant at the City of Refuge. Right above there is our youth church from ages 4 to 12. In our warehouse, we have our youth tabernacle located at the back of our church, ages 13 to 18. They meet every Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11:30. And also on Monday nights at 7 p.m., we have our young adult ministry, more of our collegiate ministry, college-age students from the ages of 19 to 35. They have their own Bible study every Monday night at 7 o'clock p.m. So we would encourage you to come out, and I promise you, you will be blessed.
You have been listening to the Pastors for Punch TV. hosted by Joy Brown. And our guest minister today was Pastor Jose Collins. You can find him at the City of Refuge. And again, you can tell he's been hanging out with the youth. This recorded show will be on his website, also on Facebook, if you want to go back and listen again to what he's saying and find out some information on how to establish your youth church, or you can just give him a call. Is there a number that we could call you at, Mr. Pastor Collins?
Yes. Area code 318-332-9664. Again, area code 318-332-9664.
Excellent. Well, you're back into the hands of our engineer, Mr. Floyd Brown, and we look forward to you on tomorrow again at 3 o'clock. And we have some more phenomenal pastors that will be coming your way. And thank you for joining us on the Pastors for Punch TV.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.